We are continuing our series here at Home for Christmas, and we're glad that you have chosen to come here and be with us this morning. We're going to be looking at a couple different scriptures. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 2, 1 to 3, 9 to 12, and Luke 2, 10 to 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. Matthew 2, 9 to 12. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And then Luke 2, 10 to 11. But the angel said to them, he's talking to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Christmas seems to be one of the seasons, other than maybe Thanksgiving, but Christmas time, you really start to feel that Christmas is about giving and about being there for others, and about it seems to really focus on helping others. It seems to be an outward focus. It seems at that time of the year, this time of the year, we start to think outside of ourselves. What do you think about when it comes to Christmas? Do you think about Christmas trees? Do you think about presents? Do you think about the tons of food that you will be eating, the amount of sugar where diabetes just shoots through the roof that month? Are you thinking about your sugar levels? Like, because I know I am when I think of it. Everywhere I've been in the last, I don't know, couple weeks, there's just sugar. Sugar and carbs. Empty carbs. It's a lovely thing, is it not? There's so much of it. And if I had a super sweet, there are times when I just go berserk and I just go for it, and that's when Christian loves me more. But I find that there's just food everywhere. There's so much food. Do you think of the malls? I try not to, ever, but especially at Christmas. I went there the other day shopping. I don't even remember why I was there, probably just aimlessly roaming because it's Christmas. And I saw all these kids and parents lining up with Santa. And I'm like, I'm glad that's over. It's chaos. Kids are crying. There is snot everywhere. Disease is breeding. It's a breeding ground. Viruses are floating through the air. What a wonderful season. But do you think of that? Do you think of Santa and that? I think of family. I think of kids. Maybe it's watching It's a Wonderful Life. Maybe it's watching Home Alone or maybe Die Hard. I don't know what your Christmas kind of style is. Singing your favorite Christmas carols. How many actually in this room have favorite Christmas carols? You guys are really shy about it. It's like, I'm embarrassed to say so. Yeah. Some of you do. Yeah, you do. Okay, so when you hear them, you're in the mood, right? You're in the mood. So when you think of Christmas, maybe it's turkey dinner, or ham, or both. Maybe it's that, kids opening the presents. Maybe there's some other traditions that you do when you think of Christmas. I know that when I think of Christmas, I think of our Christmas Eve service. And again, that's not because I'm the pastor and I want you all to come, which I do, by the way. But it for me, that is just something that I look forward to. I look forward to the candlelight. I look forward to the readings. I look forward to the anticipation and the excitement that Jesus, we're remembering that Jesus has been born. So that to me is very exciting. I actually look forward to our Christmas party downstairs, which by the way, this year was fantastic. So those are some of the things I think of at Christmas. I think of family, those that are here and those that are not. And so everyone has their own sense of what Christmas is for them and what it reminds them of. But as Christians, what are our priorities this Christmas season? When One of the main messages around Christmas is to put others first, to reach out, to be a good person. And Christmas is very unique that way, for the reason that people are more likely to think of others because it's Christmas. But this outward focused mindset at Christmas actually should be normal for us all year long. It shouldn't be just focused on now. Do you know that the food banks are full at this time of year? But did you know that after the food banks, after Christmas, the food banks are not? So that tells me that people are getting inspired by Christmas and then it peters out as soon as January hits. Because what happens in January? Life, school, work, no more high sugar anything. It's back to business. And then come the New Year's resolutions. The ones that you say, I'm going to go to the gym. The ones that say, I'm not going to eat sugar or whatever it is else that you do. I'm not going to spend so much time on Facebook and the Twitter. And that's the type of mindset we want to have all year long. And so we don't want to wait for Christmas for that to happen. We want to do it. And this church is very good at being that way all year long. But in our culture and in society, they tend to only do it at special occasions. And so we want to make sure that we're always in that mindset, that we're putting that outward focused mindset out there for all to see. And we should always be thinking of the needs of others before ourselves, no matter what time of year it is. And so I see in the story of Jesus' birth that it reveals a change in how we should perceive people. If you notice what happened, the birth of Jesus can be found in Matthew and Luke, and while these few chapters deal with the historical event of Jesus' birth, the characters that are presented show an importance in our changing in our perception of other people. So for example, Matthew describes wise men who came to see Herod. So the Magi, we normally think, and I was just having this conversation prior, we normally think it's just three wise men because there were three gifts. But technically, if you really want to get historical, there was probably more of them and it was a large caravan. But we don't, that'll mess up everyone's Christmas. If you have to put a caravan under your tree, there's just no room. There's no room where you do your birth scene of Jesus. But they would come, and they came, and they brought gifts to this new king. And they said this, "Where is he who has been born, the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." That's Matthew 2, verse 2. So wise men are usually called magi, but the point is they were from the east. They were educated men. They were possibly from Persia, we believe, In New Testament times, they were loosely defined as a group of people that would see dreams or study dreams, study astrology, magic, possibly books. They'd have a whole bunch of references from everything. And these men, had been studying the stars. So we have to think and believe that they were pagan, possibly astrologers, reading the stars. They were possibly reading the text from Isaiah, because you have to understand that Israel was always under the rule of other nations. And so those nations would have had some of their documentations. So they would have read the books from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and they would have known what it was saying. And they came across the story of the new king, and that he was going to be born, this king was going to be born, and it was going to change the world. So they've been studying these stars. And so these pagan astrologers came from a far distance to worship this king. They were outside the Jewish community. They were not part of that. But God revealed the Messiah to them. When many of the followers of God, many of the Jewish people, were not aware of what was going on. So God was using these people from another land that their people had Israel under their thumb, and God had spoke to them. Let's think about it for a minute. God's using someone who doesn't go to church every day. Possibly they didn't go to church. God is using someone that we would go, wait a minute, God, what? For something this important, why wouldn't you use us? But that's not always God's plan, is it? God's plan is bigger than ours. God's plan has more going on. It's got a large picture that God is working and bringing to realization. And so these non-Jewish, non-religious people saw this sign, knew what was going on, and came. The other group that came to talk to Jesus were shepherds, and they were out working. And an angel appeared to them. Now, I don't know what their religious background is, but an angel appearing could be quite concerning for anyone. And this angel says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that's Luke 2:10-11. So they went, they found Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. It is unlikely that while these shepherds were working, that they decided to go home and have a shower and clean up, and then head on this little journey to go find this king. So when they showed up to see this baby, what the angel had said, I'm sure they looked like they were hardworking people that did a lot in the fields and had to deal with it. So they didn't come in their best because they were told this has happened. And notice that they weren't told to go. Notice that they weren't told you need to go and do this. The angel just said, this is what has happened. I bring you great, great news, great joy. And they're like, oh. Something inside them made them realize they needed to go. They needed to go see what this was. But the angel did not tell them they had to go. It was their own choice. And so we have these hardworking people. We have these pagans from another world, another country coming. And yet, those that had the holy books in their hands didn't even realize it. And so God was using people that we wouldn't think he'd use, because we would think he'd go to the leaders, the church people, the Christians, or at that time, the God-fearing people who came to worship the Messiah. Shepherds, hardworking, dirty, smelling. Have you ever been around sheep? They don't smell pretty, okay? They're working. These shepherds are dealing with, they're working hard. And pagan outsiders that were reading books that God had inspired and decided they were going to come and check this out. The whole universe at that time was screaming that the Messiah had come. And the church didn't see it. This other group did. And so why am I telling you this? Something that you probably already know. Something that you've probably already heard. But I say this because I want to draw attention to something. We can be in the busyness of the season and in life. We can become self-focused and we can lose touch with what God is trying to do and who God is trying to speak through. We can miss that. We should be centered on others because we don't know who God is working on to reveal. We don't know who he's working on to prepare. And we don't know who he's working on to receive his word. I guarantee you, Israel did not expect the Messiah to come this way. And I guarantee you that they didn't expect pagans to be the first to recognize this. Maybe it will be the least likely person we think that God is going to use or that God is going to speak. And beyond showing love to others, we should be seeing the bigger picture that God is presenting and he's moving in the lives of other people in our world, in our circle of influence, and then outside of our circle of influence. It's easier to show love to strangers at this time of year because We can help someone out and we can help them in a great way, and then we can move on because there's no connection. We're in, we're out, we did our thing. That I believe we can do very well. And we could probably do it all year long. It's tougher to love somebody that you're around a lot more. It's tougher to love some family members at Christmas. Those relatives that come home for Christmas that you don't see very often, that you don't get along with, and then you think to yourself, well, family's family. You can't choose your family. And what usually happens? If you have a great relationship with family and this is foreign to you, good. You're blessed and that's incredible. But if you have family where that's not the case, where there'll be times when there's tension or there's opinions or there's things that get in the way of your relationship, this might help you this morning. How can we approach family members? How can we approach expressing the same kind of love and acceptance we show to other people? How can we do that with family that we don't really get along with? How can we do that this year? I just want to give you three quick things, on three observations that might help you in that setting. And this is not something you just use now. This is something you can use all year long. First, you can remove personal expectations. Do you realize that when you have a loved one, when you have a family member, you love them so much, you care for them so much, that when they do something that you don't like, when they act a certain way, when they are perceived by others in a certain way, you have personal expectations of what you expect and how you expect them to act like. Do you realize that we all do that? You're going, I don't do that. Yeah, you do. We all put expectations on others. Whether if we know them well, we put expectations on them. We don't do that to strangers on the street. So let me give you an example. If in my family, one of my children, which they would never do because they're perfect children, we raise them so they're perfect, of course. If one of them swore, I would be horrified. I don't like it coming out of their mouth. They were created, do not say those horrible things, and we don't like it for them. If somebody else does it, doesn't bother me. Why is that? Because I have personal expectations placed on them that I expect them to be better. They don't know. They just know dad's irritated. I kind of show it on my face when I'm irritated. It's kind of obvious. I do this thing where there's pulsing in my forehead and I grind my teeth. And Michelle's like, your lips are white. And I'm like, really? Don't understand why you would say that. I'm just fine. And then I break out into a sweat because I'm so angry. But we have personal expectations on them that we don't place on other people. I have to tell you, most people aren't aware of your expectations, especially your children. They don't. But other loved ones too, whether it's brothers, sisters, cousins, whatever, parents, they don't know what your expectations are. Even if you told them, they still don't really know. They're not fully aware of that. We all have an idea of how others are supposed to act, but the other person doesn't know what's happening in your head and how they're supposed to act. I don't know if you've ever been invited over to someone's for dinner, and when you're there, there's like rules that you don't know about. And they do certain things, but you don't know, and you feel awkward and weird. And that usually they're lenient on you about how they do things because, you know, it's just the way it is. We were down in Nashville at a restaurant, and they sit you down family style, which is horrifying for me because I'm more of a, I'll touch my own food, don't pass it around, but that's just me. And so I was excited, but horrified and scared and worried and very concerned about all of this going on. But I'm like, no, I'm going to do this. And as we were sitting down, we have to talk to other people. Again, it's a round table, so you got eyesight with everyone. You can't hide behind anyone. And this lady comes up from the back with the first dish and hands it. She goes, here are the rules. So they're giving our expectations. The rules are, You take one scoop, you put it down, you pass it to the left. Once it comes back around to the left, it's in the middle, it's free game. Okay, I got this. And then they came out fast. Faster than I could scoop. Faster than I could get things moving. So thank goodness I was first. Fear's gone. And she puts it down and she goes, get it moving. And she was very Southern. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. I'm trying. And she goes back. And then she turns. And so things are piling up in my end here. And she comes up. She goes, son, if you don't get that stuff moving, I'm going to make sure I eat it. You get that stuff moving, boy. And I'm like, okay, done. Bang, bang, bang. I'm just like, I don't even care anymore. I don't need this. I don't need to eat that. Like, just get it moving. She had expectations. I didn't know them. She laid them out. I still couldn't do them. They were great about it. They were funny. They were jokey. It was all a big joke. But there are expectations that happen. It happens. It happened in my family when I used to do a lot of dinners for my family. And Michelle and I felt that the family would love a sit-down meal, you know, very presentation. We found out later they didn't like presentation. They wanted pots on the stove, grab it, scoop it, throw it on a plate. It offended them to give a nice presentation on the table. They didn't like it. And they didn't want homemade anything. They wanted stuff that came out of a box. Okay, so we made those options. But I didn't know that they wouldn't. My expectations were that they would feel comfortable, that they would enjoy it, that this was a treat. But it just made them feel uncomfortable. And I didn't read the room at the time. And so when we have our own personal view, our own personal expectations of what people may want or like or do, and they don't, that's when tension happens. And Christmas is fantastic for that. So, this year, remove all your personal expectations. Take them away. Get rid of them. And just see what happens. Don't worry about that stuff. So if you remove them, I promise you, that's one thing you're not going to have to worry about. I can't guarantee that there's other things you won't worry about, but that's one thing. How can we approach expressing our being around our family and expressing the same type of love to them as we would others? Remove your expectations, and secondly, be welcoming. These are really simple. Mary and Joseph had a lot of people stopping by to see the baby. You gotta see the baby. It would be very frustrating with everybody coming and everybody stopping in. A lot of, you know, if Magi are what we believe they were, a caravan shows up to see your son. The shepherds show up, all disheveled and dirty. Can't say you can't see the baby, you're dirty. You can't be around the... Be welcoming. Be welcoming. Simple things like if you have expectations that people take their shoes off in your house and they don't, maybe don't worry about it. I know it's hard. Your carpet, it's white. But think about it. Is it worth it? So be welcoming. Practice the gift of hospitality with no strings attached, no behaviors attached. Just practice hospitality. So be very welcoming. And thirdly, this is where I want to challenge you. Just be. Just be. I want to challenge you this year. At your next family dinner, your next family gathering, whatever it is, I challenge you to sit back, look around the room, and just be. Soak it in. Watch. Maybe don't speak right out of the gate. Maybe don't say the first thing that comes to your mind. Soak it in. And while you're there, watching the room, looking at people, looking at family, ask God, what do I need to do here? What are you asking me to do? Give me direction. Give me wisdom when I speak. And give me wisdom to know when to not speak. Because I promise you, we need that. We need wisdom when to not speak. And I guarantee you, God will give you direction. He will give you wisdom. If you step back and just be, look and listen. And when you ask God to show you someone else, when you ask God to show you how to act, how to be with that person, God does something right then and there. You may not be able to explain it. You'll feel it. What happens is when you look into someone's eyes like that, especially family members or anyone, there's a sense of compassion. There's a sense of love that makes you go, I don't need to put myself first. And God shows you. He reveals himself. So I ask you to do that this season. I ask you to do it. And then I want you to do that every other time you're somewhere. Whether you're going out for dinner, whether you're meeting with friends, stop, look, watch, and listen. And see what God says to you. Because when we stop and take that time for God to speak to us, he reveals so many things. You're busy. We're all busy. I get it. And so your mind's going. You can be here, but thinking about something else that you got to do this afternoon. I know. Trust me, I can see sometimes when I'm looking at you, you're like, oh. It happens. We do that at family events where we fade. Have you ever faded out? But it's one of those things we got to watch. We got to pay attention. We need more moments in our lives where we stop and absorb the moment, where we take it in. Because you don't get those moments back. When people are gone, they're gone. And I'm telling you right now, we don't know. We don't know what life's going to throw at us. And so absorb those moments, soak it in, and ask God to give you wisdom on how to deal with it. Even the most difficult, because you know what? God might use that person that's the most difficult person in your life. And wouldn't that be a ripper? You go to church every day and that person never goes and God's using them. But you know what? He has a bigger plan. He has a bigger plan for you. He has a bigger plan for them. And he's a bigger plan for all of us. God is going to do and has done some amazing things with people that we might find not worthy. If we step back for a moment, if we remove our expectations, if we act in hospitality, if we are welcoming, and if we just step back and be for a moment, God will show us things that we're normally too busy to see, even with some of our family members and some of our friends. So I challenge you, start today, give it a try, and see what happens.